Let's head out to the McLaren Health Plan phone line and talk with Kyle Malin. He is the editor of the MERS newsletter, MERSnews.com. It's where we go, one of the first places we go in the morning to find out what's going on. Kyle, how are you?
Great. How you doing, Tony?
What are you doing up working this early?
Well, it happens every once in a while. You know, this year we're actually I'm up writing our 2012 Michigan election guide, which ends up being a 150-page guide of everybody who's running for state house, state or Congress. Right now, I'm writing a biography on Clark Durant, who's running for U.S. Senate.
Oh, interesting, interesting. When is this going to be available?
Hopefully it'll be available sometime in June. It's hard to say. We want to get this thing as much written as possible by the filing deadline, which is May 15.
All right. We're going to expect a breakdown from everybody who's running for office in the state of Michigan.
Yeah. If you're running for a state office, you'll be in here.
All right. Let's jump to a couple of things. In someone who has been accused as a guy who likes to see his name in the paper and also hear himself on TV and the radio, Rick Jones is back in the news. As a matter of fact, front page, bottom fold of the Detroit News, Jones is covered as saying that he wants retired legislators to pay as much for health insurance as other public employees pay in response to complaints about fairness. Tell us about Senate Bill 26.
Yeah, what Senator Rick Jones is proposing is that as we're going through these reforms to the school teacher and school employee retirement system, that any changes that we make to that retirement system that impact retired teachers and school personnel across the state also apply to those members that are retired members of the legislature. He says that if we're going to reform the MIPSERS program, which has an unfunded liability of some $42 billion going forward, that we need to look at the retirement system that is also funded in part and could be funded in part more with taxpayer money. He makes the argument that it's only fair. And, you know, he's also kind of appealing to those people who are in the teacher's retirement system, who have made that argument. You know, if you're going to bump up the age, the minimum age that we can start collecting our health insurance, for example, then that should also apply to legislators. If you're going to require that we pay more into the system, you know, if we are going to have, you know, this 80-20 split as far as how much we're able to pay, taxpayers pay, and how much the individual pays, that also should apply to legislators. Obviously, it's getting a cool reception among his colleagues in the Senate, but among the public, it seems he would find a lot of support.
Any new news in making some changes on the smoking ban?
No, I don't think so, Tony. You know, last week that was a real interesting story that a state senator out of Traverse City, Howard Walker, wanted to ban the Department of Community Health from enforcing the cigarette smoking ban at an indoor once-a-year fundraiser function where folks gathered to smoke cigars to raise money for some special charity. The problem is that he tried to insert it into the budget. And when you do that, it's an amendment by reference. It's a technical term for saying when it gets to the governor's desk, he can just write it off as not being enforceable, and it just kind of died. You know, it did bring a lot of attention, and it was certainly an interesting try. But at the end of the day, it won't have any real impact because if it actually survives the legislative negotiation process, the governor will probably just write it off as being unenforceable, and it will just kind of wither away.
The quote of the day on the MERS newsletter's website is, and I quote, "They know they're going to be reimbursed. We're not going to leave everyone high and dry. Frankly, I'm tired of their whining." This is from Senator Jack Brandenburg, who is from Harrison Township and the chair of the Senate Finance Committee, on local government's insistence that any personal property repeal come with the guarantee of replacement revenue for locals. From what I understand, Kyle, if we have a change with the PPT, there is no guarantee that municipalities are going to receive the funding that was once promised them. They're probably going to lose money.
No, they probably will lose money. You're right, Tony. The question is how much. You know, under the legislation, the amount that they'll lose is somewhere between 11 and 2% of what they're currently getting out of the personal property tax. But there's also a possibility that they would be fully reimbursed. But, you know, it's up to the locals to kind of portion out that money. You know, but the locals are just very weary of this whole situation about counting on the legislature to collect their money and then give it to them. I mean, they went through this with statutory revenue sharing. It's just not working out very well. The whole program has been eliminated and been replaced by this economic vitality program thing where, you know, if you do X, Y, and Z, you're going to get money that you used to just get because state law required you to get it. And so it's just really frustrating for local governments. Every year it seems like when there's cuts that need to be made to the budget, then, you know, the stuff runs downhill, right? They get the cuts just kind of pushed down to them. And so now they're the ones who have to end up making the votes to increase taxes or put a millage up in front of the voters, which, you know, they don't really like to have to do.
Kyle, will we see any changes in 2012 in regards to the medical marijuana laws?
Well, I think we'll see some. What everybody wants to see, though, is a final resolution to this dispensary issue. You know, you can kind of tweak and regulate the medical marijuana law to some extent, but until you take care of the distribution, how are you actually going to get this marijuana from the grower to the patient? You know, it's really an unsolved problem. And we've got a state representative who wants to legalize dispensaries again and make them highly regulated at a local level. And, you know, that seems to be a good start. But there's folks like Rick Jones, who's the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, you know, who want dispensaries at all and sees them to be a hot spot for crime and a place where people will just toke up there and then go drive home. And, you know, so I'd like to say yes, but I don't think so, Tony.
It's always good to see when we get a little bit more money put in our pockets. Consumers, energy customers will see a decrease in their renewable energy surcharge that equates to a five-fold decrease from what was originally approved. Tell us about this.
Well, you know, I played that real high in the newsletter this week or yesterday because, you know, Consumers Energy had been charging its consumers or its customers $2.50 for to pay for renewable energy projects like their big wind farm that they are building up north, and now they've decreased that charge to 52 cents. And the reason is it just isn't costing as much as they thought. And the reason why I played that high is because one of the big arguments against renewable energy, solar and wind, is that it's allegedly got a high price tag to it and that customers aren't going to enjoy paying for it on their bills. And what consumers is finding out is, you know, it really doesn't cost as much as we thought. You know, it only costs 52 cents. And obviously when you buy the land and you buy these enormous wind turbines and are able to connect that energy to the power grid, the wind is free. You know, it's not like you're buying coal all the time or natural gas, you know, where the price fluctuates up and down. The wind blowing is free, and so, you know, it's an argument to be made in support of this proposal that would constitutionally mandate that 25% of our energy come from renewable sources by 2025, something that consumers is trying to fight.
Any new news on the policy conference in regards to the state Senate and the House being allowed time off to attend this?
No, there is no new news. And honestly, I think most of the folks here in Lansing are just resigned to the fact that there probably won't be many, if any, lawmakers up there at the Mackinac Policy Conference sponsored by the Detroit Chamber on the last week of May there. And they're just going to be wrapping up the budget that week. And, you know, you can hope that they, you know, for a lawmaker who wants to go up there, as they usually always do, you can always hope, well, maybe we'll just get the budget done early. But Tony, that never happens. They push it right to the self-imposed deadline.
And it's going to be tough also on attendance as the Grand Prix is down in Detroit that weekend. A lot of folks, especially from that part of the state, will be attending that.
Yeah, and I think in the future the Detroit Chamber may want to look at revising what date they do it. Obviously, it's running into the Grand Prix this year, but you know, if this governor and this legislature are intent on getting their budget done on June 1, and that's the deadline that they want to do, which I think is very admirable. June 1's a lot better than September 30. Then the Detroit Chamber is going to have to move their policy conference to a different date if they want to get the lawmakers up there.
All right, Kyle, before we let you go, what are you going to be focused on for the rest of the week at the state capitol?
Well, I think that there's going to be, there could be some action on the Senate floor with that personal property tax issue, like we stated. So I'm going to be watching that. We've got a press conference with the SEIU today at 1 o'clock that I'm going to be attending. And there's some recall language going up on the Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville. Just interested to see if that language gets approved, and we'll just be following that to see how far it gets.
And Kyle Malin is the editor of the MERS newsletter. Go to MERSnews.com. Thank you so much.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Tony.